I try to set a good example for Drover and all the little children who consider cow dogs just a little special. So what I'm getting at is this. If the little children come up to you and ask, did Hank the cow dog really run from Tuerto and hide under Sally Mae's car? I'd be grateful if you'd, well, deny it, so to speak. I mean, there's lots of ways of fudging on a story without actually... There's a fine line between lying and creating a false impression. The little children don't have to... Just because we know the truth doesn't... Tell you what, let's do. We'll label this part top secret and make it off limits to kids under 12. You might consider stapling the covers of the tape together or cutting the tape apart with a pocket knife. But whatever you do, don't let the kids hear this. In fact, why don't you send them to bed so we can talk this thing over in private? Go ahead, I'll wait. Okay, all the kids gone now? Check to make sure they're in bed and asleep. Sometimes they play possum, you know. They'll pretend to be asleep, see, and then they'll sneak out of bed and put their little ears to a crack in the door and listen. All right, here we go. Here's the dreadful truth. I ain't real proud that I left the field of battle under what we might call hasty circumstances. Even though the enemy was deadly and dangerous, even though I managed to turn it into a moral victory, it had all the markings of a blind retreat. Indeed, an outside observer might have said that it was a blind retreat, and... All right, maybe... This is very painful, see? A dog spends his whole life trying to do the right thing, trying to build up a good reputation, trying to teach the kids to be courageous and bold. And then, in just a matter of seconds, everything he's worked so hard to build up goes to pot. Okay, let's get it over with. I ran from Tuerto because I was scared of him, and all that stuff about winning a moral victory was just fluff and soap bubbles. I didn't just run a few feet, fellers. I went streaking all the way back to the house. Sally Mae's car was parked out front, and I admit that I dropped down on my belly and crawled underneath. It was at that point that I discovered Drover had gotten there first. He gave me his usual silly grin.
Hi, Hank. What you doing here?
No, the real question, Drover, is what are you doing here? But don't bother to answer because I already know.
You do?
Yes. You ran from the field of battle and left me to be mauled by a dog-eating maniac.
No, I ran from that horse.
That's what I'm talking about, you dope.
Oh, well, I sure ran. I won't deny that.
Of course you won't. You've been caught in the act.
Sure looks like it. Gee, I thought this was a pretty good hiding place. Did you run the horse off?
You might say that.
Okay, did you run the horse off?
In a manner of speaking, yes, I think he probably ran.
You whipped him, huh? Good old Hank. Boy, I wish I could just go out and whip a horse anytime I wanted to.
All it takes is practice, Drover. Practice and guts and skill and brains.
Yeah, if it wasn't for this leg of mine.
Drover, that so-called leg of yours is just a crutch.
No, it's the real leg. See, it's hooked on up here.
He pointed to his armpit. I think you missed the point.
Oh.
The point is that this so-called problem of yours with your so-called leg is just a psychological crutch.
That sounds pretty serious.
Indeed it is. Only a crippled mind needs a psychological crutch, Drover, and you may have one of the most crippled minds I ever ran across.
Gosh, thanks, Hank.
That's nothing to be proud of. Sometimes I even think you're a hypocardiac.
No fooling? Mom always said we were just soup hounds.
It's possible to be both a soup hound and a hypocardiac. Both are the result of poor breeding.
I sure like soup, I know that.
All at once I noticed that his eyes had widened to the size of small plates and that his eyeballs had crossed. Something's wrong with your eyes, Drover. He opened his mouth as if to speak, but no words came out. This could be another symptom of your hypocardia. Yes, of course it is. First the mind goes, then the legs, then the eyes. It's all fitting together. He moved his mouth again, and again, nothing came out. Relax, Drover. Don't try to speak. You've had an attack of...
Hank! There he is again!
Who? What? I tried to follow his gaze, but that wasn't so easy since his eyes were crossed. You must be seeing things, Drover. Just try to... Huh? At that point, I saw one of the things he was seeing. A huge mouth armed with huge teeth. It belonged to Tuerto, the killer stud horse, and it appeared that he was trying to crawl under the car with us. I bristled and growled and leaped into the air, forgetting for the moment that we were under Sally Mae's car, which meant that instead of leaping into the air, I leaped my head against the muffler. It hurt. Bark, Drover! We're under attack! This is red alert! I tuned up and went into some serious barking while Drover crawled around in circles and squeaked.
Oh, Hank! What if he gets under here with us? Oh my gosh, time out! King's X, tell him not to bite!
I could hear Tuerto's wicked voice.
Come out, doggies. Come out and play with me. I will bite your tails.
Don't let him in, Hank. Tell him we're not here. Oh, my leg.
Quit squeaking and get control of yourself. And bark. I barked and growled and snarled and snapped. By this time, it had occurred to me that a horse which stood 16 hands at the withers couldn't possibly crawl under a car that stood only 3 hands at the running board. You probably think I should have known that all along. Well, let me tell you something. When you see a monster mouth and 2 rows of monster teeth coming at you beneath a car, never mind. My courage began to return, and I grew bolder in my counterattack. I not only bristled and barked, but I inched forward on my belly and bit him on the soft part of the nose. Hey, that got his attention. You think that big lug wasn't shocked? He jerked back, and all at once we saw no more of his flappy mouth. So I crawled forward through the dirt and poked my head out from under the car and cut loose with another withering barrage of barking. High Loper was out there, horseback. He took the double of his rope and laid a stroke across Tuerto's back. That got his attention. Of course, I had already softened him up with that slash to the nose. Tuerto snorted and pawed the air with his front hooves, and Loper laid another stroke across his back. I barked louder than ever. No question about it. Me and Loper made a dangerous team. Yes, sir. We didn't fool around with these 2-bit cocky hot rod horses. We worked them over and sent them home is what we did. And as you might have already guessed, Tuerto pointed himself toward his home ranch and got the heck away from us. I mean, that horse was scared. I had my head poked out from under the car, and now that it was all over, Drover crawled up beside me. Loper looked down at us, and I gave him a big cowdog smile. I knew he was proud. Well, there's Laurel and Hardy protecting my ranch. Laurel and Hardy must have been famous guard dogs. You kept him out from under Sally Mae's car, did you? Yep, we done that all right. Sure makes me proud that I spend $30 a month on dog food. Told you he was proud. That's what I call throwing money down a rat hole. He turned his horse and rode off, coiling up his rope. I crawled out from under the car and shook the dust off my coat. Drover stayed where he was.
Hank, what did he mean, throwing money down a rat hole?
You don't know, really?
No, don't have any idea.
I walked over to him and looked down into his empty eyes. It's very simple, Drover. I'll explain it to you one time, and I'll expect you to remember it.
Okay, fire away.
All right, pay attention. If you knew you had a very important, very valuable rat on your ranch and you wanted to reward him for his outstanding work, would you throw money down a skunk hole or a rat hole?
Let's see.
He squinted and chewed his lip.
A rat hole?
That's correct, Drover, because rats live in what?
Rat holes.
Exactly. And skunks live where?
In skunk holes.
Correct again. This may be a new record for you, Drover. 3 right answers in a row, and all in the same month. And now you understand what he was saying.
I guess so.
He crawled out and scratched his left ear.
But Hank, can I ask you one more question?
I checked the location of the sun. I believe we have time enough for one more question. Go ahead.
Who were those guys you were talking to out in the pasture?
Guys? What guys?
When we were out there fighting the horse, you kept calling for Mark and Roger. I never did see them.
Well, we needn't waste any more time with Drover's nonsense. The important thing is that, once again, we had rid the ranch of a menace and had taught Tuerto, the one-eyed killer stud horse, a lesson he wouldn't soon forget. By the way, this part turned out better than I expected, so if the kids want to hear it, go ahead and let them. And don't pay any attention to the part about me being scared of Tuerto. I was misquoted, that's all.